I would like to, in these next 10 minutes or so, think with you about our trustworthy God. In life, there are things that are predictable. And as you know, in life, there are things that are not predictable. In 8 days, we expect to witness a spectacular event that is the first one occurring since 1914. And that is when we see, when this country sees a total solar eclipse. Now, what fascinates me about this is that I don't know how long they've been predicting this, but I suspect it's been for many, many years. I think 12 years ago, I learned that when we were traveling in Idaho last year, that someone had reserved a motel suite 12 years ago in the Sawtooth Mountains, where I think they will see totality. And what fascinates me is that scientists can mathematically calculate the predictability of events like this. And by now they know that in 24 there will be another one. It'll travel from New Mexico through New England. And for me, in the kind of work that I do, I have to have straight lines, and I have to have have a foundation for something. I still can't figure out how they can take the heavens and figure out the predictability of those things, the movement of stars and so forth. Fascinates me an awful lot. Another thing that's predictable is the planting of seeds. We plant a seed and we expect something, that plant that grows out of that seed, to look very much like the plant that the seed was taken from. And the thing that fascinates me about that is the order that God has brought to our world through creation. And the other thing too, you plant a seed, and this past week we enjoyed hearing some speakers at Miller Seed Farm's Customer Appreciation Day. I hardly deserved being there, but I was there because I was invited, or we were there. They talked about the maturity cycle of certain wheat, of certain crops. And so you take a seed, not only can you expect it to come up, you can predict with some reasonable accuracy when that fruit will come to maturity. And it's not like one seed of its own decides to come, to mature 10 days, or, well, sometimes it feels like that to the people that harvest wheat, but it's across the board, you can sort of know about when to expect it. And that's what you call predictability for us. Now, I'd like for us to think of something else. We, in living, we look at the things around us that are predictable, and we are comfortable with that because we know we think is going to happen. There's another word that we use for it, and it's maybe a bit more spiritual, and that is the word temporal. The temporal things around us as a whole are somewhat predictable because they're observable and many times repeatable. And what's the third thing in science that they say is important? Anyhow, you know what I'm talking about. Those are the temporal things. Now, there's always a temptation for us to get so fascinated with the things that are temporal that we think that we deserve them. Another term we will use for these kinds of events is natural. These things are naturally occurring. Seeds, for example, and so forth. And sometimes I think we fail in recognizing the supernatural in all of this. And so the fact that God has designed seeds to sprout, and then to, in time, they are, in time, they come to fruit. That is predictable, and we think it is natural. I have come to believe that it is not natural at all. It is supernatural. Just because we're accustomed to something doesn't mean that it's not supernatural, because creation itself was supernatural. And so even as predictability and temporal, I think there's a correlation between those two. I think there's a correlation between the unpredictable or mystery and the spiritual. In this passage, in Psalm 26, I was inspired to talk about this because I saw something here, especially at the end of the chapter, that speaks about predictability. I'm going to read those six verses in Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now this is set in if I understand correctly, this would be set in the time that they were returning from captivity. And I'm not sure which captivity it was. But the thing that I was especially noticing here, you'll notice that God had promised that there would be a return someday. I'm sure that as they went into captivity, whichever captivity it was, it looked very dismal, it looked very bleak, it looked very dark. But here it says that when the Lord turned again our captivity from, again, the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. They could hardly believe that this was actually happening to them. But God had predicted it. And so these things that sometimes feel so distressing and so unpredictable and so out of our control, God uses them to bring us back to himself. And then in the last two verses, he actually references the predictable to measure uses something that is temporal to remind us of his predictability and the things that don't seem predictable. So he says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You see, when we sow seed that is in the hearts of people, we do so sort of saying, will this bear fruit? Will it actually do some good? And I like the fact that he references the seed time and harvest here to reassure us that yes, it is worthwhile. It is worth putting your time into people. It is worth putting your time into things that seem unpredictable. I'd like to read then the next psalm. And this psalm makes reference to something that people have tried to control, and to their own hurt have done that. And that I'm referring now specifically to the last three verses. But here's what he says, and I think taking chapter 27 and what it says has direct reference. I don't know if it has direct reference, but we can apply directly to what he has said in 126. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now, the reason I reference this is because we are living in a day and time when our worldview is becoming a minority worldview. The idea that the earth will at some time overpopulate, will overburden itself with people, has been around for quite some years. And cultures around the world have tried to deal with this issue by limiting the amount of people that come into this world. This world is intended, or God intended, that there is an expanding population to care for all of population, especially the aging population. And so sometimes when we try to take mystery out of life and try to control it, we end up damaging. We end up doing exactly the opposite from what God intended. And this is one of those cases, I believe, where man has tried to control the population, and there is probably no place where it is more evident, or I shouldn't say it that way. One of the places that's very evident is in China, where one man is now required to support seven people if you stick to the strict one-child policy: himself, his wife, his child, and his parents and his in-laws. And so you see where that finally ends up taking people. Now, I realize that that's not exactly true, but they tell us that it takes, that there has to be, out of every marital union, there needs to be at least 2.2% increase in reproduction in order to sustain a culture. And when you take that away, you end up with the diminishing and the declining culture, and you cannot and it's almost impossible to turn that around. I'm not sure why that is, but that's what they tell us. So one of the fascinating things is this: as much as we like predictability, as much as we like to live around predictability, as much as we like to know what's going to happen tomorrow and what's going to happen next year, there are some things that God just keeps from us. And that was driven home to me probably more than any time before in the recent passing of my nephew. Had his bride and he, a year ago when they got married, had any idea that their marriage would last 6 months of a normal marriage, and then he would be dealing with cancer for 2 or 3 months, it would have stolen the joy of that day. You and I are sitting here today, there's a lot of things that are unpredictable, but we're happy because of it. If we embrace the unpredictable, if we see God in the whole picture. So when the psalmist references this thing about children, it just helped me again understand how limited we humans are in trying to figure out what's good for us and what is not. The one thing we come back to, and that is that we have a trustworthy God who has set in motion concepts, principles, I should say, through creation. And of course, concepts are things that we think about these principles in. But he set those in motion for our benefit. And when we can embrace mystery, when we can embrace the unpredictable, we are in fact embracing the eternally predictable things. May God help us today as we worship to embrace this trustworthy God who is eternally predictable. Let's kneel and pray.
Father in heaven,
We just bow our hearts at this moment to honor you for the way that you have created us, the way you have created mankind, the way you've created this world to operate. And Lord, today, help us each to understand our role and our part of your kingdom. You're our part of this, of all of life that we touch. And I pray that you will help us to be comfortable with the things that we don't understand, knowing that behind it all, there is a God, there is you, who understands it all, and who sees through it all, and who gives us the grace to embrace it, and to enjoy it, and to live life to its fullest, because you, after all, are predictable. In Jesus' name, amen.